Hi, this is Danny LaRue, host of the Real GM Radio podcast, and we have a special double episode this week. Matt Moore of the Action Network and I go through all 30 teams in the NBA and put them in tiers, and then the legendary Jack McCallum and I talk about his exciting new series on Kobe, LeBron, and the 2008 U.S. Men's Olympic Redeem Team. Lots of great stuff. Check out Real GM Radio at Podcast One and your favorite podcast player.
Well, we get a visitor, a very special visitor from the Stern Show drops by today. In the middle of my freak out, I'm having a freak out, monsieur. I'm freaking out about Love Boat, and I'll explain why.
Well, if you're going to freak out, might I suggest Headspace. If you have 10 minutes, you can change your life. Headspace, a daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. Overwhelmed? Headspace has a three-minute SOS meditations. Need some help falling asleep? Headspace has wind-down sessions. Parents, Headspace has a morning meditations you can do with your kids. Reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I think we're learning that...
It's important.
It's important to get your head right these days. Yep. And by the way, when you get your head right, everything else sort of magically falls into place.
Interesting.
Backed by 25 studies, over 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads, it's Headspace, right, Matt?
You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/ADS. That's headspace.com/ADS for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal being offered right now. Head to headspace.com/ADS today.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Right, Drew?
Yeah, dude. Whoa, look at that attitude today. Mm. What's up?
Oh, man.
High on something?
I'm high on life. I'm high on the Love Boat.
Your biorhythm. Well, funny you would bring the Love Boat up, because that was what was on my mind for today's show.
All right.
Guess why?
Hmm.
It's freaking me out, man. Freak out.
Freak out!
I'm having a full freak out about Love Boat. There's some shit going on in my head. I'm not sure it's healthy, but I am literally freaking out over Love Boat. So I'll let you start, and then I'll sort of get into my stuff. Which there've been two shows, I think, since we talked somehow.
Yeah, I haven't seen both of them.
Okay. Well, the second one's the one that freaked me out. Which one did you see?
I was watching the one where Dr. Bricker revives Siegfried.
Okay, that's the one that freaked me out.
Now, you guys don't remember, but Bernie Coppell, the actor, first, and I don't know about first, but he came into prominence.
Yes, he hit the scene.
On Get Smart.
Correct.
Where, and Get Smart, I've not gone back and revisited, but Get Smart was a funny Mel Brooks show from the 60s starring Don Adams.
If you remember, it's the one with the opening sequence where he goes through all these.
Yeah. He also went through a lot of different cars at the opening.
Yes. He had that red convertible spider.
He had a Carmagia. Yeah, Carmagia. He had on one season, he had like a Sunbeam Tiger or an Alpine or something on the other.
Right.
And, you know, it's back when we were in such a void. I mean, there's a thing, and we can all kind of remember this. Like, it's the analogy I always use is, you know, you go to one of these places, you have your tires balanced and remounted or whatever. You find yourself sitting in the waiting room with the bad coffee from the styrofoam cup, and you're just sitting there, and it's going to take 40 minutes. And at some point,
weird butter cookies in the tray.
Maybe at some point you pick up, piece of literature, and that piece of literature is, you know, Midas presents the do's and don'ts of tire balancing or something, and you just sit there and you just sort of look at it, you know, because you're essentially in a prison. And, you know, the reason people take up art and drawing in prison is because you're left alone with a pencil and a pad. You know, that wouldn't work at home. You have TV and the outdoors and, you know, humanity. But anyway, so we're in such a void of entertainment that just the beginnings of shows with music and, oh, look, he's got a red car. You know what I mean?
How about just the full orchestra that's playing at the beginning of Get Smart?
Yeah.
It's got a 35-piece orchestra.
The themes were big and soaring and great, but I'm just saying you didn't have anything better to do.
Right.
Now, you would power through that opening now if that was a show you were watching because, you know, who cares? Right. To me, you know, the opening of Speed Racer was half the show. Right. You know, it's a song. There's movement.
Yes.
You know, there's stuff happening.
Yes.
But in Get Smart, there was Control. Kind of interesting. Get Smart's group was called Control.
Yes.
And the bad group was called Chaos.
Uh-huh.
And when I think about Bernie Sanders and AOC, I realize they're kind of working for Chaos.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what their agenda is other than chaos.
Yeah.
It just seems...
Well, look at the reflected stuff in the world.
Yeah, well, it's just let's tear down every statue. Yeah. Let's infuse racism into every subject. Like it feels like chaos.
We may need to go back and study a new TV show.
Yeah. So Bernie Kappel played Siegfried, who was this, you know, German, I don't
kind
know, Russian
German.
Kind of, you know, agent who worked for Chaos.
Right.
And it was always funny with the accent and the stuff back, you know, back when if you were a German guy, they'd put a little scar on your cheek,
and
right?
And you wear a monocle.
And you wear a monocle, and that's who he was. Now, at some point in almost all bad TV series, at some point, somebody plays an actor that's in the cast plays their twin or their cousin or their whatever. They just put a mustache on the guy and he does an accent.
Somehow, I blame the Patty Duke show.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of where it started. That, you know, you have an opposite and they talk to each other on the TV screen at the same time.
Yes, it was such a
novelty.
Anyway, he came back as the bumbling German detective who was, you know, because there was a jewel thief and blah, blah, blah. But the point is
and by the way, was adored by, which he seemed to miss, probably the hottest actress they've ever had on the Love Boat to that point.
One of them.
Yeah. And I didn't go down the rabbit hole of who she was. I went down everybody else's rabbit hole. Did you happen to?
I was, it's always, you know, he was hired to protect her diamond and travel with her, but she had fallen for him.
Right.
Although it's unclear why anyone would fall for this kind of bumbling, you know,
who's ignoring her and mistreating her.
Right. And I mean, obviously,
she can't get his attention. What?
Yeah,
what?
The real version of that guy is an insane, an insane person. But
right.
Yeah, it was. I watched a bejesus out of that. And then, you know, then there was the temperamental chef who didn't want his nouveau cuisine.
Nouvelle cuisine. How dare you?
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot going on.
But there's a little history embedded in that because at that moment, nouvelle cuisine was a thing that was invented.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we invented. But before that moment in the 70s, French food was rabbit in chocolate sauce or Chateaubriand, you know, gigantic servings of meat. Mm-hmm. And stews and things. And then it became these tiny little servings that we're sort of accustomed to these days in, quote, fine food.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a controversy.
Yes. Yeah. So those were my Love Boat thoughts.
So my freak out,
mm-hmm.
the Bernie Kappel thing freaked me out a little bit. I was like, I was reminded as I was watching that of something that you brought up several months ago that I thought was a great insight, which is the shiny object we had before television was vaudeville. And we mm-hmm. were really still under the influence of vaudeville in a lot of these stories, particularly that story.
Mm-hmm.
When they did comedy, they were doing vaudeville.
Mm-hmm.
And that bit of history did not come clear to me until now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought it was just that's what comedy was on television. And interestingly, I saw Gavin McLeod talking about I think it was Love Boat, and he was saying that it was fashioned after those storylines after Love American Style,
mm-hmm.
which was also very over the top, unrealistic.
Yeah, another big opening with big songs and soaring
fireworks.
Fireworks. Just the idea. The beginning of Love American Style had fireworks on TV.
That was it.
And I would watch the fireworks. It was essentially what I was doing, what a cat does with an aquarium. Just standing there.
Yes.
There's stuff moving.
Yes. Yes. That was our childhood.
Right.
Anyway, so here's the freak out. So I'm looking at one of the storylines is Richard Basehart, voyage to the bottom of the sea. Remember him?
Right. Yeah.
Who was the submarine captain in that TV series. And he's now in a wheelchair because he's been traumatized in a car accident where his family was killed and he has a conversion reaction and can't walk.
Right.
Not psychologically based paralysis.
Oh, was it?
Oh, you didn't see when Bernie Capel as Dr. Bricker delivers that news to the captain?
I didn't get that far.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that must have been toward the end.
Yeah.
But they would do a lot of lines from back then where they'd say there's always a woman who's unreasonably interested in the person that you should show no interest in.
Right. But, who is, by the way, fiercely, aggressively hostile to her.
Right.
Like, really obnoxious.
Right. But they always do that thing where they go, in that car crash, I not only lost my wife, but a part of me died.
Right.
They always do that, part of me died.
I can't feel anymore.
Right, yeah.
Not only can I feel my legs, I can't feel my soul.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. So again, over the top, ridiculous, melodrama.
The problem with all that stuff is, why are you
everything
on this cruise?
Yeah, that's what Susan kept asking. She goes, why did he come on? Why is he there? Why is he on this cruise?
Can't ask those questions.
Okay. So he's on this cruise, and he is the woman that we're saying that he was reacting so violently against was Joan Fontaine.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I went to a big rabbit hole with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Joan Fontaine was Olivia de Havilland's sister.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw
Gone with the Wind?
Yeah.
She
played the one that was involved with Ashley. The one that has the baby.
Oh, in the movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Joan Fontaine was one of the most famous and commercially active actresses of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I went down her rabbit hole. Her IMDb goes on for 100 pages. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I found a quote of her saying, yeah, I worked so much because I didn't want to think about getting old. I just kept working. Four husbands, mm-hmm. never home, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. But really highly accomplished, highly decorated, a really serious performer. And I noticed, I heard Gavin McLeod going on about how he was so taken when Olivia de Havilland was on the show. And I could tell he was very turned on, not turned on, but – as an actor, here I am with Joan Fontaine. I could just see that in how he was performing with her.
Right.
Which is what he liked about doing the show, he said in an interview.
Yeah. So in a way, it would be like if I got the job on a schmaltzy, sitcom-y, hour-long, whatever, schlocky, bad network, whatever. And then at some point down the road,
maybe you could work with John Ritter in a TV video show.
No, it's yes, but at some point, Bryan Cranston would come on as a guest, or what you name Robert Downey Jr. Something
it makes it worthwhile.
These are these huge stars. Yeah. What are they doing on my crappy?
And now that I get to interview them, and this is great. I love doing this. Right?
Well, you don't get to interview them
or whatever. Work with them. Whatever
right.
the situation is. All right, so yes, that is that. But let's just start with – so here she is. I was reminded of what Don Wells told me about Natalie Holloway, who was Mrs. Howell,
mm-hmm.
that TV turned famous movie stars into these cartoon characters.
From Gilligan's
Island.
Set the table, George.
Marianne, mm-hmm. Donna Wells,
mm-hmm.
told me that she was having lunch with Natalie Holloway. Is her name Natalie Holloway? Natalie – help me, Mrs. Howell.
Natalie Holloway was the chick that was abducted in Aruba or something.
You guys got to help me. It's Natalie, Mrs. Howell. Just give me the last name. And they were at Pink's, and this crowd, they'd only been on TV for 2 weeks as Gilligan's Island. They said this crowd developed, and Don Wells, Mary.
So they were at Pink's?
At Pink's, getting a hot dog.
Natalie Schaefer played
Natalie
Lovely
Schaefer.
Howell.
Thank you. And Don
Love
Wells.
E. Howell.
Mary Ann said, you've been this incredible – you have this pedigree as a movie actress for 30 years, and now you're a cartoon character and you're insanely famous for Gilligan's Island and how ironic that all was and what TV was doing to people who thought about themselves as serious actors and in film, and film was this highly sort of elevated art form at the time. Well, Joan Fontaine was definitely part of that. So let's – your first thing on Joan Fontaine is what age did she appear to be? Like when you think about – look at that woman at, from our perspective now – how old was she?
She looked like she was in her mid-later 60s.
Later 60s. Sorry. Maybe even 70, right?
Like maybe 60? 70, I mean, yeah. By today's standards.
She's my age exactly in that.
Really?
And that freaked me out. That was a freak out.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to figure out, or is it...
So that's where I freak out started. Figure out. Go ahead.
Well, is it the fashion of the times or the trends of the times? I mean, we all... You know, you see a 50-year-old woman, and then they go back and see a picture of her from the late 80s. And in our mind, she looks better now. But sometimes. It's only because she didn't have the hair and the stuff and the makeup and the fashion look goofy. Yeah. You know, is it that people look younger now, or they act younger now, or
– Well, that was what was swirling around in my head. So I turned my attention with that same thinking going on. Well, what about Richard Basehart? Mm-hmm. How he's the love interest. How old does he look?
He looked like he was in his mid-70s.
Or late-70s, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
He was 2 years older than me.
Wow.
When this thing was filmed. Freak out. Freak out. Now, Richard Basehart, I could tell from his voice that what I was looking at there was cigarettes. And he died of a stroke like 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple strokes, actually.
Never got out of that wheelchair.
Never got – went right back into it, in fact. But so there – I mean that's part of the aging process back then was cigarettes accelerated everything horribly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought maybe Joan Fontaine smoked a little bit of cigarettes for a while there too. Probably, right? I mean 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
Probably. So that's one reason why she may have looked older. But she lived to almost 100.
Wow.
Yeah. And I just started thinking about not so much end of life, but in a weird way, there's a lot of information about aging in Love Boat and about how people manage in their careers across a lifespan. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here, this is a woman who was legendary film actress in the golden age of Hollywood on the schlock TV show. Looking like hell, frankly, though did a good job. Did she feel good about that? Is that what she was longing to do right then? How did the next 30 years go after that? And why does she look 75? What the And then I started thinking about myself. And this is what I want to talk to you about. Like, then I started thinking, well, how much longer am I going to do this shit? And what am I going to do? And what, you know, what am I really up to right now? And how do I manage that? And how much longer do I got? And how much longer is it relevant or meaningful or purposeful that I should keep putting myself out there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It gave me a thousand doubts.
A thousand doubts.
Freak out.
Froked out.
Froked, man. I froked the F out. Let me, before I freak out, let me warn anybody, really remind everybody, Simply Safe. You won't freak out if you're Simply Safe. Safe, secure feeling as a kid you had getting tucked into bed. Not the swirly, whirly freak out I'm having. Maybe you don't, but maybe you do. Feeling of security only comes with human connection. That's why people at Simply Safe Security, Simply Safe Home Security, are an important part of the story. Simply Safe has an award-winning system with all the tech you'd expect. We've told you about it before, but the people at Simply Safe take it to the next level. Whether it's fire, burglary, medical emergency, burst pipe, or a problem setting up the system, Simply Safe has a human person who is there for you with expertise, all that you need 24/7 to help you, a real person, available from Simply Safe. Right, Matt?
That's right. To find out how Simply Safe can help make you feel safe and secure at home, visit simplysafe.com/Adam2 today to customize your system and get a free security camera. That's simplysafe.com/ADAM2 today.
So all the freak out kept going, and it put everything in like time frames and perspective. I walked into your bathroom. You had paper towels in there.
Mm-hmm.
There have not been paper towels in that bathroom for 4 years. I'm like, freak out. I've been here 4 years and there's been paper towels. What about 4 years from now? How am I going to feel about this? I've totally freaked out. It's completely lost my mind.
Paper towels.
The time frame that I realized that it had been 4 years since I'd seen paper towels in your paper towel holder. And that was just.
All right, long hauler.
Well, no, wait, help me. So what do I do with all this swirly whirly stuff? Just let it, just forget it. We'll focus on today.
I will tell you after the break.
All right.
So.
I told you I freaked out.
Yeah.
Complete freak out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joan Fontaine and Richard Basehart.
You must involve yourself in a project. You have to have a project.
I build a car. Got to get
it. Can't
wheels.
Be career oriented.
Wheels and tires.
You have to get a project.
Funny you would say that. Getting fluent in French is my project right now.
There you go.
And it's really helped me. It has helped me a lot. But I get a little obsessed.
It'd be
with
nice
it.
If it was a little more tactile.
I understand your point, but I get a little obsessive with it. You know, I'm
you know
like,
it's
doing
an,
it all
you know
time.
It's an interesting. Here would be an interesting study.
Yeah.
They always talk about in the past when a couple or anyone is involved with a large scale home renovation that it's a very stressful time.
Yeah.
Well, that was in the past.
Yeah.
I wonder now, with all that's going on, if a couple that's involved with a renovation is less stressed than the average person that's in their apartment watching CNN all day.
We just did that at our house, and I would argue you're correct. And not only that, a much higher level of appreciation of what you get.
Right.
I really want to use
so
it and stay
So using
in it.
That model, maybe you need a project.
Okay.
All right.
So wait, one more thought. Last thought, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
And that is – all right, I'll bring it up next to Joe. This could be a separate topic, so okay, let's
all
go.
Right, come on.
All right, let's go.
Be professional.
All right.
Shuley.
Shuley.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Wow.
Good. Shuley from The Stern Show.
Good to hear your voice, man.
Likewise. I've been a big fan of you guys for many, many years. When I was failing horribly at construction, I used to listen to you guys all the time. When I had all my crappy jobs on the way home, you guys would always entertain me. So it's a pleasure to speak to you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, I was the same way. I work construction. I work construction. I listen to Loveline.
Oh, I know.
Well, you know.
And you would say, you think I could do that. I could do.
I thought I could do it, but yeah. I'm never going to.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had my first gig was a plumbing gig, and the guy was like a friend of the family, an Israeli guy, and he puts me to do a main line, to dig out a main line that's like cracked somewhere, which I had no idea what that meant, and he drops me off with some shovels, pickaxes, and then I realize it's like a 5-day thing. Like you have to dig like 3-4 feet down. You got to go. I don't know how many feet across until you find this root that's busted through the pipe.
Right.
And after day one, I went to Home Depot and I picked up three guys, and it was done in 2 days. And he came by to check on it, and he saw the whole job was done, and he goes, "Did you do this?" And I said, "Yeah, I did this." He goes, "You are my mainline guy from now on. Every mainline job I have, you are doing." And I had to admit to him that I hired three guys from Home Depot to do it for me.
Yeah, you don't want to be the mainline guy. That is the worst.
No.
You want to impress, but not impress too much.
Yeah. Sorry.
I do want to ask you, because I follow you on social media, both you guys. I see a lot of the stuff that's going on in LA. I was in New York when the pandemic hit. I got out of New York because things just deteriorated overnight in our neighborhood, which was a nice neighborhood. And we moved down south where I have, 10 times as much for my money that I had in New York, peace of mind. And my question to you guys is that a serious thought for you guys about getting out of there? Because it doesn't look like it's getting any better.
Yeah,
it's funny. I woke up this morning. I saw an email from Adam Schiff. He's the guy who was on the Trump-Russian stuff for 3 years.
He's our representative. He's our congressman.
Yeah, doing the Lord's work. Yeah. And he was like, we got to stop this Republican Gavin Newsom recall. This is nothing but a QAnon thing, and it was like, look, Republican, Democrat, whoever you are, do you really want to defend Gavin Newsom? Do you really? It is, by all objective standards and measures, California is just coming undone. And this notion of like, oh, well, now we're on the surge.
Oh.
You know, we're heading back toward the light.
No,
no we are not.
No, not even close.
And yes, we shall be getting out of here. My kids are in high school. And as soon as they're out of high school, I think we will
Tennessee.
Definitely see about going. Well, the good news is, I mean, if you really think about it, you can drop the screen, Gary. Sorry. Let's just do this. Let's just do this little thought experiment. If you lived in California your whole life, if I went back to you circa 2020, Shuli, how much did you spend time in California?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in California.
Oh, okay.
We moved there from Israel, so I went through – high school, I was in California.
Shuli speaks fluent Hebrew, and he tells people off. He hides that until they speak ill of him in his presence,
well,
and he tells them off in Hebrew.
All right, so let's just do a three California long-termers thought experiment. You know what I mean?
Sure.
If somebody said to you in the year 2000, you have to leave California, you have to go find another state, and you can't go to New York, and you can't go to Florida. Well, in the year 2000, you would have gone, well, where the fuck am I going to go?
Right.
I'm out of choices here.
That's right.
I mean, I guess I could go to Oregon.
Or Denver, maybe.
Maybe
or something,
Denver or something. Now, 2021, you could put a list together of 25 places.
You could throw a dart. Throw a dart with your eyes closed.
Right. My thing is, does it have a P.F. Chang's? And if it's got a P.F. Chang's, I could go. It's not just because I love P.F. Chang's.
Just developed.
It's a certain degree of developed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when 2020, you start talking about going to Bozeman, Montana or something, people are like, are you nuts?
Yeah.
20 years ahead, there's 40 places you could think about going.
No. It's more than think about going because it's different than in 2000. You die to go, hunger to go.
Right.
You're really motivated to go. I mean, to go to Nashville, to go to Austin, to go to Denver, to go all these places. I mean, oh, my God. It looks so appealing. For me, I was driving down the 110 about 6 months ago, just after I recovered from COVID, and I thought, this place is worth fighting for, goddammit, and I'm going to stick it out. And that's when we did a major sort of renovation at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me feel like we're here for a while. But I'll hit a threshold where that's it for me too. You know, I just rent everything and go somewhere. It's live in a trailer somewhere. I don't care.
Shuli, how's it?
This is back to my freak out, dude.
What's going on with Stern? Are you a part of that? Are you doing it remotely? How's that working?
Well, what happened was when everything turned to shit, we were working from home. And I talked to management and said, does it matter where home is? And they said no. So we started looking at places, you know, Jersey, Connecticut, try to stay somewhat close. It was all the same stuff, you know, price-wise. And then I have friends that I've had for a while out in Huntsville, Alabama, who told me years ago to buy property out here because this area is booming. And here we are, my wife, two kids, two cats, and a dog in a two-bedroom apartment in Queens under quarantine. And I look on Google. I see it's a 14-hour drive. And we start looking online at different real estate and see what we can get for our money out there compared to what we have in New York. And we said, look, we're trapped in an apartment, or we can be trapped for 14 hours in a car and go check out a new place and see what the hell it is. Because, you know, if you'd have told me 5 years ago I'm moving to Huntsville, Alabama, I'd have told you you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
But when we came out here, it was like everything that was going on everywhere else was not happening here.
That's what I keep hearing, Shuli, which is that the problem is not the United States. The problem is that we live in Los Angeles.
Or New York.
Or New York,
listen,
Chicago,
he,
or whatever.
Yeah. People here are living their lives. Now, people in New York assume that everybody's coughing on everybody. Nobody's wearing masks. It wasn't the case. You couldn't go into an establishment here without a mask on, but people weren't preaching. They weren't preaching politics. They weren't they have parking spots for law enforcement at the front of stores. Like, people here are so well-mannered, so respectful. You see kids mowing lawns. You see, you know, it's probably because they still beat them, but whatever. It works. I had peace of mind immediately once we got out here. And then the other thing for me was work. I wasn't happy with work. A lot changed when we started working from home. I feel like it became a bit of a different show, a little politics heavy, and wasn't really my bag. And so we tried to work something out where, you know, they offered me less money. And I said, that's fine as long as I can do something on my own, a podcast. Then they went back and said that wasn't going to happen. So I just said, you know what, I will take my chances. I will bet on me. Thank you for 15 amazing years. No hard feelings, no talking shit. I'm going to move on and I'm going to try this on my own. And I started a podcast in January that is still going strong. And now I have peace of mind everywhere. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it strikes me that what people want is very simple, and unfortunately to the super progressives, it's old fashioned. Mm. And so what they're kind of doing is like, people want security and they want community and they don't want to be bossed around and they don't want a governor under their boot and they don't want to be locked down and they want their schools to, you know, they want all the most boring, you know, middle America bullshit. That's what everyone wants. And, you know, I feel like Bernie and AOC and Gavin Newsom are trying to talk everyone out of it. Like, you don't really want this. You want this progressive stuff. You want, you know, you want to live in a community where housing is, you know, you don't want people moving to the suburbs and driving a car and having land and going hunting. You don't want that. You want this. And it's sort of like vegans trying to talk people out of meat. You know what I mean? They're going, you know, meat is murder. You know what? You've ever seen factory farming? You ever see films of how they kill the cows? And it's like, I want a fucking steak. And they're like, no, you don't. That's ugly. That's an ugly old, that's what your dad wanted.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You want the Impossible Burger. And it's like, no, I don't. And it's a battle. And so what happens is as they try to convert their fiefdoms into that, you know, here's the future.
Right.
People like us go, I don't want to live that way. I want to live. And I'm with you 1,000%. I was a California snob. You go to these places in Wisconsin. I travel the country. I do stand up everywhere. It's like, oh, people are nice. They're friendly. There's not all this judgment going on and all this stuff. It's like, yeah, that's what we want. We want the boring shit that is of a bygone era, but it's only bygone because it happened before us. It doesn't mean we don't want it.
Right.
Some people pump the brakes on life. I wanted to pull the handbrake on life. And because I'd been running at a pace and at a tempo for the last 15 years that I put my work number one and my family maybe number three. I don't even know they were number two. I had stand-up. I had the show. So once we got locked down and I got to reconnect with these people, I was like, oh, okay, my priorities are ass backwards. Like, these guys, I want to give them a better life. I'm looking at people throwing shit off a balcony towards my apartment that if it hits one of my kids or my wife could kill them. You know, and I'm like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Why am I paying for this?
And by the way, you're doing a great job with the podcast. It's awesome. One before we go, give us that Hebrew curse that you throw around on airplanes.
Well, it was a Hebrew couple that was sitting. I was in a middle seat, and they were sitting on either side. And I politely asked them if they wanted to switch, and they declined rudely. And then I woke up with the husband handing me a baby to hand to his wife that that they didn't have when this journey started. And I said, no. He said, can you hand the baby to my wife? And I said, no. And he says to his wife in Hebrew, Zelam ani sone otam, which means that's why I hate them. And I was more pissed that he didn't know I was a Jew than what he said. But I replied, Lechti zayem ta ima shelcha batachat, which means, why don't you go fuck your mother in her asshole? And turns out the baby went back right away, and nobody in the row had to piss or shit the rest of the flight. It was a very...
It's a great story.
Flight.
Thanks, Shuley.
All right, buddy. See you.
God bless you.
Hey, love you guys. I would love for you guys to come on my show separately, of course. I don't want a big feud going up.
We don't go anywhere together. Nowhere together. No.
Thank you. Thank you for years of entertainment, guys. I really appreciate it, Shuley.
Yeah, we'll,
anytime.
We'll work it out.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about Ultimate Ears. Technology,
I love
man.
These guys.
You need
I was an early
technology.
Ultimate Ears adopter.
Yeah. Well, the thing is in the past, you'd pay thousands for the high-end custom fit stuff, and now you can use Ultimate Ears. Ultimate Ears fits true wireless custom fit earbuds from Ultimate Ears, premium sound, all-day comfort, and easy to mold, guaranteed perfect fit in 60 seconds. I mean, you used to have a tech come out and, you know, pour plaster into the side of your head. Now they have a whole kit and you just custom fit
it. Yeah, nothing to it. Yeah.
Like you used to do the old mouthpiece in football back in the day, right?
Yep.
8 hours of continuous playback on a single charge, up to 20 hours with the charging case. And look, if you don't love them as much as we do, we'll offer 30-day money-back guarantee plus free shipping, free returns, and a one-year warranty. Right, Matt?
That's right. And for a limited time, get 15% off your pair of UE Fits true wireless earbuds at ue.com/fits. Just use promo code ADS to check out. That's 15% off with promo code ADS at ue.com/fits.
All right, you can go to adamcarolla.com because I got live shows coming up all over the place, doing stand-up all over the country. And you can check out our chassis channel. We have all our movies there, 24-Hour War and Shelby American and all that stuff. Stuff you saw on Netflix, maybe. It's there on Pluto TV, channel 687. What do you got, Drew?
DrDrew.com, DrDrew.tv. Check it all out there, the stream, all the different shows there. Don't forget After Dark. See you there.
So until next time, Santa Carol for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Pluto TV is playing the biggest movies every night this summer for free. Watch hit movies like The Hunger Games, The Matrix, Pain and Gain, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Scary Movie, Runaway Bride, and more all summer long. Check out the biggest stars like The Rock, Keanu Reeves, Jennifer Lawrence, Tom Cruise, Julia Roberts, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of free TV channels in English and Spanish featuring TV shows, news, sports, comedy, and more, all for free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device, including Android and Apple smartphones. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.